Are you a writer or coach? Do you dream of building a successful online business? Are you tired of hearing the gurus tell you that you need a big launch or a complicated funnel software? Whether you're struggling with self-doubt, imposter syndrome, or just feeling overwhelmed by too many choices, I can help. Hi, I'm Jonathan Milligan, author of Your Message Matters. And I recently put together a free on-demand video training called How to Build an Online Business as a Writer or Coach, The Low-Tech Way. Inside, you'll discover the low-tech system that 30x'd my online business. Just go to freetrainingvideo.net to get started. Again, that's freetrainingvideo.net. Hello, and welcome to the Blogging Your Passion podcast, where we're on a mission to help 1,000 bloggers go full-time in the next 5 years. This is your host, Jonathan Milligan, and I'm really excited today to bring you someone who's doing some amazing things, and they're right here in our Blogging Your Passion community, which is so very cool. And I want to introduce you to Cassidy Cash. So welcome, Cassidy.
Hi, Jonathan.
So glad that you are here with us, and I can't wait to dive into this. And the reason why I'm excited about this is because I, earlier this year, wanted to make a commitment to bring you real stories of people who are following their passions, they're building audiences online, and they're coming out of our community. And a lot of times you can see Cassidy hanging out over in our Facebook groups. She's active. She is a contributor. She's got all kind of awesomeness that's going on with what she's up to. And I can't wait to kind of dive in today and let her share more of her story and what she's up to so that everyone listening can learn from people who are in the trenches building their online businesses right now. So, Cassidy, take a moment and tell us a little bit about your background.
My background, I always say my first job was being an entrepreneur, and that just comes from how I was raised. I was raised by parents who were already serial entrepreneurs. They would start businesses. My dad would start businesses and sell them and then start the next one. And so I grew up in this environment of seeing that go on. And they would encourage us when we were like 13, 14, they'd be like, you need to be thinking about, you know, what you're going to do. But they would let us direct kind of what was that going to be. And I thought, I knew I didn't want to flip burgers. You know, all of my friends in high school were going and getting jobs at the local burger joint or something. And I knew I didn't want to do that, but I wasn't sure what I did want to do. And I thought I wanted to be a veterinarian because the voice at that time was, you need to do something you can reasonably stand and that also makes money. And I thought, well, I like animals. I can be a vet tech. So I spent several summers doing that. And then I went and toured the vet school and saw what it was going to take to get the veterinary degree. And I won't tell you the details because it was sad, but you had to do some things that I wasn't willing to do to get the degree. And I thought, well, I can't do this. I can't do this. So now what do I do? And I was feeling really lost of like, I don't know what I am going to do. And I remember at that same time, my dad was starting a business teaching math to high school students, and it had outgrown our basement. And he was looking at launching it into, at that time, you didn't have YouTube. So it was launching it onto DVD. And he sat me down in his office and he asked me this question that really formed the rest of my life, I think. He said, Cassidy, what would you do if you knew that it was all going to go right and you couldn't fail at it, but you were going to get up every day and be excited to do it? What would you do? And, you know, I was all of 16, 17, and I said, I want to make movies, Dad. And he said, okay, well, you know, and what was cool is he didn't bat an eye. He just said, let's find a way for you to do what you love doing. And he said, what would you think about working for me? I want to put my business on DVD, and I don't know about the filmmaking part of that. Would you be willing to come on and learn that and help me implement that at my business? Would you be willing to work for me? I said, sure. So I took on the title of executive producer at my dad's company, and we spent the next 15 years. I was learning to be an entrepreneur. I was learning to make movies and put information on film. And then once YouTube came along, we had to learn how to put it on YouTube. And this was back when YouTube had those like strict 10-minute limits and everything too. And so we did that. And then about 5 years after I started working for my dad, I got married and my husband and I had our first son, and I wanted to start something on the side. And so I ended up starting kind of a side business doing marketing and digital design for technical professionals, engineers and project managers who are very skilled and have a lot of knowledge in a particular area, but weren't very creative. And so they needed help with their brochures and their posters and their webinars and presentations at conferences and PowerPoint slides, even things like that. All of the artwork that goes into promoting a business. I would had a kind of a side freelance job doing that. And I did all of that up until this past July is when I stepped into what I'm doing now. So,
and that's, I love this story because, you know, I've got a 15-year-old daughter getting ready to turn 16. I've got a 13-year-old son, and we're starting to have those same conversations. And man, it's so awesome that your dad encouraged you to follow areas that would excite you and to show you that, hey, listen, it is possible to wake up and be excited about your work. And I love how these different skills, and we're going to hear more, you guys are going to hear more about her story as we go into this, how these skills that you've developed along the way all bring you around to where you are today. So explain what your online platform is about and who's it for. I know you're doing all kind of cool stuff between writing and podcasting. Obviously, you got a background in video, so you're doing cool things over on YouTube. But what's the core online platform that you are currently building, and who's it for?
Yes, I'm at CassidyCash.com, where I am that Shakespeare girl. I believe that if you want to understand Shakespeare's plays, then understanding the life of William Shakespeare is essential. So what the platform's designed to do is to connect storytellers that want to tell Shakespeare's stories well with the history of William Shakespeare and early modern England that puts the power and fuel into what they're trying to do.
And I love this because this is, you know, I hear people all the time from time to time, and they're talking about, you've got to, you know, if you're going to earn money online or build a platform, then you can't follow things that you're excited about or passionate about. You need to go and do this or that. And I'm like, no. If you are excited and passionate about something, there is a good chance that other people are as well. And I've just seen example after example, and we know that this doesn't happen overnight. This is something that gets built over time. But I've seen example after example of people who take things that are potential interest of other people, and they build them and create this awesome business and exposure that, and maybe we'll get into some of the kind of the future things that you'd love to be able to do with this. But I think this is a great example. I love the niche. I love how clear you are on exactly what you're up to. So that's awesome. Now that we've kind of established that, let's jump into, because I think it's important that all of us understand that this isn't easy. There are definitely things. I mean, technology can be headaches for all of us. There can be difficulties along the way. And if it was super easy, everybody would be doing it. But what is the hardest thing you've had to face so far with launching this online platform?
Well, I know I should probably say something about IT or technical glitches or the internet or something, but I think the hardest thing for me has been keeping your courage up and the idea of having the guts to take the action you want to take when there aren't really any guarantees that it's going to pay off. I feel like so much of building a platform is an experiment. You have to try this and see if it works. And then if it doesn't, you change gears. And really, being an entrepreneur has been surprisingly a lot like acting on a stage. You have to be confident and you have to take the action when you are scared. And if you don't, it doesn't work. And so that's probably been the hardest thing, is stepping out there and saying, you know, I can do this. Second to that, list building has been probably the biggest mm-hmm. challenge, the idea of figuring out, of getting in front of your audience. I have found that when it turns low numbers, you're not talking to the right people. It's not mm-hmm. that what you're doing isn't working. It's that you got to get it in front of your people. So that was probably the biggest thing I've learned over the last few months anyway. So
no, those are great. And I think it's so true, because, you know, I'll come across people who oftentimes they are trying to continue to expand their knowledge before they start. And really, when you dig down deep, it's this underlying fear of why they're not starting. And so they think, if I can just learn a little bit more, if I could be a little bit more knowledgeable, then I'll feel better about myself. And the truth is that it's just the opposite. It's actually, you need to take what you know, and you need to be courageous. And that present courage is what's going to drive you. And every successful blogger or podcaster or business owner that you admire, you can trace them back to a courageous moment when they decided to do it. And that, you can't get away from that. So I'm so glad that you brought that up. What about the opposite? What's been the most exciting thing that you've experienced so far since jumping in?
The most exciting thing for me has been talking with some of the Shakespeareans that I love and admire, people whose books I used in college to get my degree, kind of people, getting to network with them and talk with them and have them, you know, some of them have come on the podcast and been guests, and we talk just like I'm talking with you over coffee and just about stuff that I love. And it's really been a thrill to interview guests for the podcast. And I wake up in the morning and I say out loud most days, I can't believe this is the life I get to live. I get to go and fix a cup of coffee and sit down and talk with this person about Shakespeare. This is incredible. So that's been really exciting for me.
Yeah. And that's awesome, because, and that's the benefit of kind of getting in the game and jumping in, is that you have those opportunities. You know, I tell people all the time that the radio shows of 20 years ago are the podcasts today. And every single one of us could jump in at very little cost and get a podcast off the ground. And the TV commercials and TV shows of 20 years ago are the YouTube channels of today. And I'm watching my kids, they're watching and following people on YouTube, and that's where they're consuming their content. And so this is, you know, the playing field is level for all of us, and we get to interview people we admire. We can make connections with people. I love that you brought that up. Very cool. Okay, so all of us have like a different set of hours that we can invest in building our business. I know when I first started, I had 2 hours from 5 a.m. to 7 a.m. Then I went to my day job. Others of us have the opportunity, because of, you know, other situations or circumstances, where we can invest more time and energy into our building our business. And one's not necessarily better than the other. It's just, you know, your season of life. It is what it is. And it's about taking advantage of the time you do have. But I always like to go here, because this is an area where people are always looking for tips, because all of us are different. We all have different personalities, and something that you do might really connect with somebody else when it comes to the actual work week. So what's your typical work week look like? Maybe share us a little bit of insight into hanging out with Cassidy on a weekly basis.
On a weekly basis. Okay, sure. Well, if you come to my house, it's controlled chaos over here. So that would be what you would notice first. Lots of coffee and chaos. But I homeschool my two boys. And so one of the reasons people ask me, you know, why did you do this instead of something else? And I do it because I wanted to be in control of my time. And I wanted to be able to focus on raising my kids and being able to homeschool them. But I also wanted to be a professional. So I'm doing both. And I think I'm not very time based, in the sense that I don't put myself on a schedule in terms of, you know, you have to be at your desk by here and you have to leave by there. one of the things my dad always used to say, you do the work when it needs doing, you don't get hours, you run a company. Mm-hmm. So what I do is really more project-based. It's about just get it done and don't worry about what time it is. Now, what that means as far as a typical week is, if in my office, I have this big board where my week is outlined Monday through Friday. Saturdays are set aside for, if I have a big project, I'll do it on Saturday. But most of the time I try to leave Saturdays and Sundays available for my families. But so Monday through Friday, I have 2 to 3 major tasks that have to happen each day. And the goal is, it doesn't matter when you get these done, but you don't go to sleep until this list of things is accomplished for the day. And that's why it's only 2 to 3 things too, because you can only get so much done in a day. So I've got 2 to 3 major tasks that have to happen. Sometimes I'm up really early and I knock them all out before breakfast. Other days I'm fitting them in around schoolwork and life. But that's what I do, is I have my daily tasks of, if you want to be here by the end of the year, here's what you got to do today. So that's how my week runs.
Yeah. And I think a really, really important principle in what you just stated, and it sounds like it's something you learned from your dad, is operating like an entrepreneur is different than an employee. And there is a difference between clock time and event time. And I remember one afternoon, it was 3:30 in the afternoon, I'd been really productive all day. And I was sitting there at my office at home, working from home. And I'm like, man, it's not 5 o'clock yet. What else do I need to get done today? And I could hear my son playing basketball in the backyard. And I thought, I just had that, like, that aha moment of, Jonathan, why did you get in this business in the first place? It was because you wanted to have the power to choose your time. And you've already invested a lot of time today. Who's saying that you have to sit here till 5 o'clock? It's not exactly about clock time.
Yeah,
it's about
exactly
event time. And I tell you, that was a powerful moment for me. And I know this is what's important to you is, I mean, the ability and the opportunity to homeschool your kids is incredibly wonderful and awesome that you get to be able to do that. And what's awesome is you can structure your week to where you can do something like that and also get things done. There's nothing that says, well, you know, you're not going to be successful if you can't carve out 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. to just work. It's more about results than it is about time. And I think that's an incredibly important principle for people to know. And when you know that, then you feel more encouraged by the fact that, well, I don't have to work all day long in order to see progress.
Exactly. It's like, it's a positive and a negative that there's nobody who tells you what has to get done. So that means, you know, you don't have to be at your desk by 8 a.m. if you don't want to, but it also can mean that you're not done at 5 p.m. at the end of the day. You don't get to just throw your hands up and say, well, it's 5 p.m., I'm done for today. Hmm. You may have stuff that still needs to get done because you weren't at your desk by 8 a.m. And so it's a great amount of freedom and also an incredible amount of personal responsibility.
Absolutely. You're exactly right. And maybe you choose to spend the afternoon with your kids at the park and you make that choice, but then later after dinner, you can pull up the laptop and finish that, you know, that you talked about, the 2 or 3 tasks that you want to get done for the day. That's the opportunity to kind of knock it out and get it done. So exactly, it's all about choice as well. Awesome. Well, many bloggers are looking to monetize their platform. They're like, you know what? I would love to be able to do this to where it begins to earn income and something I can do full time. And not just for the fact that we want to have all this money, but because it allows us to create more impact. And the more money we make, the more impact we can make. And assuming that's in the case for you, and maybe I'm wrong, I'm not sure, but when it comes to your platform, do you have some like monetization ideas that you're excited about, either you've launched or that you're looking to launch in the next year or two? Just to kind of frame this for people, because I get this question a lot of, Jonathan, how do you make money blogging? I'm like, there's all kinds of ways.
I know. Yes, everybody asks that question.
Yeah, and so I'm just curious, what are some of the thoughts and ideas maybe swirling around in your head so far?
Absolutely. Well, the most immediate thing that I'm doing is I am about to start pitching sponsors for the podcast. My podcast officially launches April 23rd, Shakespeare's birthday.
Awesome.
Yes.
And hold on, you got to tell everybody the podcast, the name.
Oh, it's called That Shakespeare Life. It launches awesome. April 23rd, 2018. Yes.
Perfect.
And so I am pitching sponsors for the podcast this next week. That's on my task list, is to start sending out some of those. I'm excited to partner with the brands I believe in and to promote their work and hopefully use my skills to help them grow their platform. That's the idea. But in then you asked about the next year or two. Next year, we are actually putting together a trip to the UK, to England, to go tour Stratford-upon-Avon and take people over there. So that's another way the platform kind of pushes that. And so we go and we say, hey, we've spent all year talking about Shakespeare. Let's go see where he lived. That's another way that will turn money. And then somewhere down the road, I want to look at membership sites, but that's on the someday maybe list right now.
Sure. So. And the other thing too, is you don't have to have it all figured out right now. I know when I first started, I only knew of three ways that I could earn money with my blog. And that was a career coaching blog. And two of those required my trading time for dollars. The third one was Google AdSense, which I was aware of the fact that people click on ads and I could earn a little bit of money. And yet 2.5 years later, I had 12 different income streams, just because as you start down this path, new ideas and new opportunities begin to show up. And I truly believe that. And that's what's going to happen for you as well. But love the trip idea. I think that's really cool. And I love the sponsorship for podcasts, because it's the more niche your podcast is, the more obvious it is to the people who are paying to have a spot on your podcast, because they know who is the type of listener for that podcast. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
And so that's really awesome. Okay, so got to ask you this. Knowing what you know today, what advice would you give to your beginner self if you could go back in time?
My beginner self. I feel like in so many ways, I am such a beginner. There's always something I don't know. But I think the biggest lesson that I would want someone to carry with them would be that no matter how much you know, someone else always knows more. And what that means is that you don't have to wait until you know, quote, enough to step out there and feel confident about the expert that you are right now. If you think that, you know, there's no barrier between you and knowing what you know, you have to step out there and just take action. Don't wait until you're ready or you're smart enough or you have enough degrees, or just step out there and share what you're good at, and that is good.
I love it. Yeah, and it's the start before you're ready, and I think that's so true. It's hard for us because we all want to, you know, we want to be comfortable, we want to be safe. But at the same time, we want progress and we want action. And I think that's a great advice for people that are listening in. So how can listeners best connect with you? This has been awesome, but I want them to be able to connect with you, get more information on your upcoming podcast and any other materials that you've got.
Yes, I would love to talk with you guys. You can find me at cassidycash.com/BYP. It stands for Blogging Your Passion. I put together a gift just for your podcast, Jonathan. Yes. Did you know that Shakespeare was an entrepreneur too?
Well, I guess I'm going to find out, because I'm going to go to that link, because I guess you have something for me.
He started his own business, and this guide will show you 12 lessons on starting a business from William Shakespeare.
Love it.
That when you download that, you will also be able to get a notification about when the podcast goes live, so you can listen to that also.
Beautiful. Love that. That's great. So the link will be in the show notes, but tell everybody one more time.
CassidyCash.com/BYP.
Perfect. Well, listen, this has been awesome. I'm super excited. Can't wait to see what you're going to be up to in the months and years to come. I know it's a lot of uncertainty for you, and it is for all of us as we move into this, but I love that you're taking steps, that you're moving forward, and I think this is going to be incredibly encouraging to a lot of other people to, hey, guess what? Jump out there and start taking some action. So once again, thanks for coming on the show.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.